Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our unit on literature again. We're talking about books, novels that you could try to read to improve your English. And hey, maybe you ought to give this book a try. I'm not really much into romantic novels myself. I might be interested in the future, but Stephanie here has read this book. Is it a big book? Is it like 500 pages long? Could they read it in a weekend?
No, it's not that long. It might be 250. We're also going to talk about another novel that was made famous when An Lee directed it, Sense and Sensibility. I've read that one, too. I've seen the movie. So we're going to talk about Jane Austen, the author, today. So in our first program, we talked about Pride and Prejudice, the plot of Pride and Prejudice. Today, we're going to talk about the author herself, which is kind of fun to get to know what she was like. I know a lot about Jane Austen. Kind of sad she never really found true love herself, but she left behind some great romantic novels.
And gave them to the world to read, and they're still being published as we speak.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Check it out. And these, of course, are probably in the public domain now, so you could probably download an e-book of this for free, or just check it out from your local public library. But hey, let's get to it. Let's talk about the life and times of Jane Austen in today's lesson. Let's listen to today's lesson right now, and then we'll come right back. Jane Austen is considered to be one of the greatest writers of romantic fiction. Born in 1775 in England, she lived during a conservative period in British history. She started writing as a teenager, and remarkably, at age 21, she completed the first draft of the epic romance Pride and Prejudice, although it wouldn't be published until 1813. Before that, in 1811, the publisher released her novel Sense and Sensibility, which also remains popular to this day. In addition to these works, Austen completed four other novels during her career. Austen's works were often critical of the society in which she lived. She frequently criticized snobbish people from well-to-do families. Moreover, Austen mocked the lower classes for their poor manners and ignorance. Her direct style and clever use of irony are two traits which made her writing so charged and well-respected. However, outside of her friends and family, no one knew of her authorship while she was alive, as Austen preferred to remain anonymous. She was so worried that her secret might be uncovered that she always wrote in a room with a creaky door. This would alert her whenever someone was coming in so that she could quickly hide her manuscripts. Although many of her main characters find true love, Austen never married. She died aged 41, and her works are still read and admired throughout the world.
Jane Austen was indeed considered to be one of the greatest writers of romantic fiction. She still is. Her books have all sold very well. They've all been made into many, many films, movie series, plays. People love Jane Austen's works. Now, born in 1775, she lived in England, so she's British, and she lived during a very conservative period in British history. Actually, I would say it was probably conservative around the world back in 1775. Things were different. Women really didn't have many choices then. They either got married or they didn't have a life because you couldn't go out and become a doctor or a lawyer. You know, you just really were left at home. A lot of the girls back then also weren't very educated. Jane Austen at least went to school. She was very smart. If you read her books, you'll see how quick she is. She's very intelligent. But she lived during a very conservative period. Conservative just means a time when people hold on to tradition. They hold on to traditional practices. They like old-fashioned values. They believe in keeping things the way they are. They want to limit change so things don't change too quickly. So here she was growing up in a time where women were considered to be, I guess I would say second class citizens. Men really had all the power and control in the world.
Right. And of course, they did not appreciate women coming out and writing and taking jobs and stuff like that. So it was a very conservative period in British history. Things have changed somewhat since then. And she started writing as a teenager, which means you're 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, or 19 years of age. And remarkably, at age 21, she completed the first draft of the epic romance Pride and Prejudice, though it wouldn't be published until 1813. So she was 21 years old, and she completed this first draft of this epic novel. This was remarkable. We've got an adverb form of it here. Remarkably, she completed this first novel. So if something's remarkable, that means it's worthy of being remarked on. It's worthy of attention. It is striking. It catches your attention. Things can be remarkable for various great achievements.
So she was able to write a classic piece of literature when she was just 21. That's how good she was at writing. That's pretty amazing. That's why we say it's remarkable. She completed the first draft of the epic romance Pride and Prejudice. If you have a draft of something, it just means it's an unfinished piece of writing. It's not the finished copy. It's your first version or maybe your second version. You still have mistakes in it or you want to change some things, so you go back and rewrite parts. We always write drafts of papers when we do research papers for school. Then we'll go back and maybe take out some parts and add some others. Well, she had her first draft completed when she was just 21. Now, we're calling it an epic because it was a big adventure that's exciting, has lots of twists and turns. Epic, though, is usually applied to much longer novels. Epics, to me, are more like 600, 700, 800 pages.
So she wrote the first draft of this novel when she was 21, but it wouldn't be published until 1813, which was many years later. And before that, in 1811, the publisher released her novel Sense and Sensibility, which also remains popular to this day. I'm not sure when this movie came out, but you might be familiar with this novel because it was made into a movie with Ang Lee directing it. Was Emma Thompson in that, and Hugh Grant and some other famous people. And, of course, we all know that as the film version, but, of course, that film was based on this novel, Sense and Sensibility, which isn't the novel we're talking about today, but we should talk about this title here. Sense means you have good sense, you have good logic, but sensibility doesn't really mean that, does it?
It sure doesn't. Actually, the title is describing how the two sisters in the novel are so different personality-wise. The older sister is very logical. She thinks with her head. But the younger sister always reacts with a lot of emotion. So if you have sensibility, it means you have a large capacity or ability for feeling emotion, and you react quickly and emotionally rather than thinking things through. And you see that throughout the movie, throughout the novel. The older sister's always trying to be sensible and try to help her sister not ruin her life by being too emotional.
But that's a different novel, and we're not talking about that novel. We're talking about Pride and Prejudice, which, as we said before, was not published until a couple years after this novel was published, Sense and Sensibility.
We're talking about her life story today.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And in addition to these works, Austen completed four other novels during her career. Austen's works were often critical of the society in which she lived. So she's got quite a few novels here that she was able to publish, and they're often critical of the society in which she lived. I'm assuming that's England here. If you're critical of something, that means you point out the bad things about something. A critic usually is somebody who just evaluates something, a film critic, a book critic or something. They're telling you if it's good or bad. But if we see the word critical, that means they're probably saying bad things about it. So she was not too happy with the society. I wouldn't have been too happy with that society, especially if I were a woman then trying to have a career as a writer.
Yeah, a lot of the women back then would publish using men's names instead of their own. so that they could go ahead and get their work out there. If you are called critical, if someone says, oh, he's a critical kind of guy, it means they're kind of negative, and they're always pointing out what's wrong with things. So that's not very fun. If someone calls you critical, you might want to be a little bit more positive. Well, she was often critical of her own society. She wasn't from a poor class. She was middle class, but she also didn't have a lot of money, which you needed back then, especially if you were not going to get married. She frequently criticized snobbish people from well-to-do families. We talked about the word arrogant in our first program. If you're snobbish, it's very similar to being arrogant. Snobbish people, they also think they're better than others. It's usually based on something, maybe their status. Perhaps they have more money than others. Perhaps they're more talented than others, so they look down on people who don't have enough talent. Or maybe they're smarter than others, and so they look down on people who aren't very intelligent. Well-to-do means you have plenty of money to provide for your needs.
Yes, arrogant means you think you know more than you really do, but snobbish here means you think you're better than other people. Usually that applies to rich people, but as you said, it can apply to intelligent people or people in the performing arts. Well-to-do means, yes, rich people, people who go to famous universities and stuff like that. So she was criticizing them. However, or moreover, I should say, Austin mocked the lower classes for their poor manners and ignorance. So she wasn't too happy with poor people either. If you mock somebody, of course, that means you kind of tease them, you laugh at them, you criticize them, you're scornful of them. To mock also means you kind of insult somebody by kind of imitating them, trying to act like them in order to insult them.
She didn't mock poor people. She mocked the lower classes who had bad manners. So it didn't bother her if you weren't rich, but if you acted ignorant, kind of uneducated, unsophisticated, said things you weren't supposed to, then she would make fun of them. So that was really something she was quite good at, actually. Ignorance here again, uneducated, unsophisticated. Those kind of people bothered her as well as the snobbish people who had a lot of money.
Ignorance, yes, for not knowing something that you should know. Boy, are you ignorant. You need to do some reading. So there you go. She was a critical of basically everybody, and her direct style and clever use of irony are two traits which made her writing so charged and well-respected. Irony here means basically you say something in the opposite way so that you can describe something. So irony could be something like, boy, I am so excited to be here, which basically means you're not excited. You're saying the opposite in order to express the opposite.
Yeah, maybe Tom says to me, hey, I had to work all weekend. And I say back to him, oh, how nice. Well, it's not nice at all. You're saying exactly the opposite of what you really mean. So irony is used a lot in Western society. A lot of sarcasm, irony is very popular among people of Western backgrounds. It's true. And she used a lot of this. A trait is some sort of characteristic that makes up a person's personality or describes something. Here we're describing what her writing is like. And she really has a very direct style, and she also uses this irony that we've been talking about, how you express a meaning that's opposite of what you're literally saying. Her writing was also very charged and well-respected.
Right. Charged means it had a lot of energy to it, I suppose. It had a lot to say there. It could cause controversy, so you're going to enjoy reading this if you do happen to pick this novel up. And hey, it's about time for us to take a little bit of a break now and listen to our Chinese teacher, but stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. Pride and Prejudice 它的作者 Jane Austen 被认为是 one of the greatest writers of romantic fiction, 被认为是最伟大的浪漫小说作家之一。我们今天来看看她的生活的背景。在第一段的中间写着, She started writing as a teenager, and remarkably, at age 21, she completed the first draft of the epic romance Pride and Prejudice, although it wouldn't be published until 1813.事实上呢，还在青少年的时期，他就开始写作了，21岁就完成了这个小说的初稿。我们先来看一下这个副词 remarkably， 指的就是优异地的意思。举个例子来说， All the students did remarkably well in their exams this year. 所有的学生在今年的考试当中都表现得非常优异，我们就可以使用这个副词 remarkably。而他在21岁完成 Pride and Prejudice 的初稿。我们来看一下 draft 这个字呢，其实就是草案跟草稿的意思。当然你有 first draft 初稿，你也有 final draft 就是最后的定稿咯。而这本小说一直要到1813年才出版，但是在那之前呢，其实 Sense and Sensibility， 也就是理性与感性呢，也就先发行于两年前的1811年。接着我们来看到在第二段的第二个句子提到， Austen's works were often critical of the society in which she lived。他的作品的特色呢，常常会批判他所身处的社会。这里的 critical 可以当作形容词，解释成为批判的意思。我们可以加介系词 of 来代表他批判了什么。举例来说， People have been critical of the way she has handled the affair， 指的就是人们对他处理这个事情的方式很有意见。当然咯， critical 还有另外一个很重要的意思，可以解释成为非常重要的或者是关键的。所以你说这是一个很关键的要素，你就可以说 a critical factor。而他所批判的呢，是常常是一些这个来自富裕家庭的 snobbish people， 势利的人们。除此之外，这里还提到 moreover Austen mocked the lower classes for their poor manners and ignorance。除了是这些呢富裕家庭的人之外，他也会嘲弄这些下层阶级人们的粗鲁跟举止以及无知。在这里我们使用了动词 mock， 就是有讥笑跟嘲笑的意思。而 ignorance 当作名词则是代表无知。我们常常说Ignorance of the law is no excuse， 指的也就是不懂法律是不能当作一个借口的。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We're continuing to talk about Jane Austen today as part of our unit on literature. We're talking about the novel Pride and Prejudice, but today, again, we're talking about the author herself, Jane Austen. And, again, she was critical of snobbish people from well-to-do families, but she also mocked the lower classes because they had poor manners, they didn't say please and thank you.And they were very ignorant. And, of course, she was very good at using irony. And, of course, her novels were charged and well-respected as a result of that. But here, let's talk about the fact that she didn't really want people to know that she was a writer. However, outside of her friends and family, no one knew of her authorship while she was alive. She preferred to remain anonymous. So here, authorship just refers to the state or condition of being an author, a writer of books and novels.
It's just the opposite of today's writers, right? Everybody is posting on their own blogs. They're using Twitter to publicize what they do. Everybody wants to be known in today's society. She was just the opposite. Authorship is just the state of being an author. It's kind of a strange word.But no one knew that she was an author while she was still alive. Anonymous. If you're anonymous, everyone, they have no idea who you are. You are unknown. A lot of people who have money make donations but want to remain anonymous. They don't want other people to know that they donated money. Or maybe you do something really nice for someone, but you don't want them to find out it was you. You might say, hey, I just like to remain anonymous. Don't tell anyone.
Yeah, if I were to win the lottery, I would like to remain anonymous so yeah. people don't keep calling me up and knocking on my door saying their daughter needs $20,000 for an operation or something like that. So that means nobody knows who you are, and I think she had good reason for this because she was a woman writing at the time, so she wanted no one to know it was her writing mm-hmm. these novels. She wanted to stay anonymous, and she was so worried that her secret might be uncovered that she always wrote in a room that had a creaky door. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Creaky here just means something makes a noise when it's moved.
Creak! Creak!
Yeah, floor could be creaky, for example. My grandmother's house had a wood floor, mm-hmm. so every time you walked across it, it would kind of... It was very creaky. But again, if a door makes a high-pitched sound when you move the door, we could describe that as being a creaky door.
Yeah. It's one of those words in English that actually sounds like the noise it makes. It's kind of funny. And when I was growing up, we had a staircase that was made of wood. And so when I was a teenager, we would try to sneak in late sometimes without our parents finding out. But those creaky stairs would give us away. Mm. If we stepped on the wrong spot, it would go, creak!
You naughty girls, what are you doing trying to sneak out of your parents'
house? Just plain, having fun.
Just to see if you'd get caught or
yeah.
not. But yeah, she would write in a room with a creaky door, and this would alert her whenever someone was coming, or at least whenever somebody was coming in to that room. And she did this so that she could quickly hide her manuscripts. Here we have the verb to alert someone of something. That means to warn them, to let them know something's happening, especially if something dangerous is coming. So, of course, we want the government to alert us if a typhoon is coming.
We sure do. So we can prepare in advance. Well, she would want to know if someone was on their way so she could quickly hide her manuscripts. A manuscript is a piece of writing that an author has been working on before it's published. Nowadays, a manuscript could be actually typed up and printed on a computer. Back then, of course, she was writing by hand. But a manuscript doesn't have to be by hand. It's just the state of the unpublished work. So she would hide her manuscripts. You could have a screenplay. That's a manuscript for a movie. You could have a manuscript for a play that's on stage, and you could have one for a novel, of course.
Right. Manuscript. Manus from the word manual, which means the hand. So something written by hand. But as you said, it just kind of means a first draft of something, a manuscript. And yes, she could hide them under the bed or in the desk so that no one could know that she was actually moonlighting as an author, had a part-time job as an author. And although many of her main characters find true love, well, that didn't happen to her. Austin never married. I guess if you're a woman who has not married, you're called a spinster. Is that term still used? That sounds like a word my parents used.
No, I used another term in our first program, old maid. Spinster is kind of an old-fashioned word that was used a lot. I would say in the early 19th century, 18th century, spinster, someone who never got married. But it's also someone who's older. So yeah. A spinster can't be like a 35-year-old woman.
No, and she was only 41, so yeah, it wouldn't apply to her.
Spinsters would be like 65 and older who are single.
Exactly, and she was unable to find true love. It didn't happen to her. She never met her knight in shining armor, so she remained single. She never married, and she died, unfortunately, pretty young here at the age of 41. She died aged 41. Notice their age is being used as a verb, aged 41. And her works are still read and admired throughout the world. So I guess in some sense, she is still alive and with us today.
It's funny, she wrote so long ago, but her works are always in the public. They're constantly being shown on either TV or a film screen. You can find those books anywhere, actually. I have several copies of her novels. If I lose one, I just pick up another one. They're fun to have around, and they're really good if you want to improve your English and learn a little bit about the culture back in England in the 1800s. It's a great read.
Indeed, and it's a romantic novel, of course, and I guess I'm guessing here, I'm sticking my neck out a little bit, but this sounds very much like a chick book, a book that girls would prefer to read. Guys would like to read stuff by Rudyard Kipling and stuff like that, about adventure and stuff. This is all about romance and stuff like that.
Yeah, you said a chick book. Actually, we have that phrase, chick flick. If it's a movie that's romantic, it's called a chick flick, F-L-I-C-K. Yeah, I would say mostly girls like these books, but, you know, that's okay. We need our own books. You know, you can keep your adventures and your action thrillers and stuff.
Well, it still might be a good read for guys. You know, there's probably some good turns of phrase in this book, or some excellent, excellent uses of language. So, hey, check it out. I might even sample a few chapters myself one of these days. But that does bring us to the end of our lesson for today. Next time, we're going to talk back again about Pride and Prejudice, the novel itself. But right now, we're going to take a time out and listen to our Chinese teacher.
接着我们来看到第三段的第一个句子写着 However, outside of her friends and family, no one knew of her authorship while she was alive, as Austen preferred to remain anonymous.事实上呢，除了他的朋友跟家人之外，其实他在世的时候是没有人知道他的作者身份的。这里的 authorship 指的就是作者的身份，因为他比较喜欢呢自己是匿名的。我们用了一个形容词 anonymous。举个例子来说，炸弹的恐吓来自一通匿名的电话，我们就可以说 The bomb threat was made by an anonymous caller. 继续后面看咯，为了怕担心他的秘密会被发现，所以呢，他总是设计一个门，在有人进来的时候，房门就会发出声音来警告他。在中间第三段中间的句子提到 This would alert her whenever someone was coming in so that she could quickly hide her manuscripts. 这样一来她就可以警觉到有人要进来就赶快的把自己的手稿藏起来。Alert 当作动词是有让某人警觉的意思。另外呢，常用的它也可以用来当作是名词，是警报或是警戒的意思。像是洪水的警报就可以称之为 flood alert。最后一句 She died aged 41 and her works are still read and admired throughout the world. 那么她享年41岁，然而她的作品在世界各地仍然受到众人的拜读以及欣赏。在这里要请同学特别注意到 aged 41, 在这里 aged 我们要用被动的方式来表达他的年龄是41岁。当然你也可以仿效像在第一段中间提到的 at age 41 来表示当时的年纪。
Thanks for joining us, everyone. We hope you'll come back soon. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.